It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. The second highest-ranking elected official in Dallas has pleaded guilty to federal conspiracy and tax evasion charges. Dwayne Carraway has been the Dallas mayor pro tem and longtime city hall fixture. He resigned from the city council this morning, effective immediately. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports he faces up to 7 years in prison.
In a room of reporters in the Dallas Federal Building, U.S. Attorney Erin Neely Cox approached the lectern. She was flanked by officials with the FBI and IRS.
Today is a day of both reckoning and reconciliation for the city of Dallas and its citizens. I am pleased to announce a major victory in the battle against public corruption.
Dwayne Carraway admitted to taking bribes and evading taxes, all to help Robert Leonard win favorable city council votes. Leonard ran Force Multiplier Solutions. He also pleaded guilty. His company's tied to cameras and stop-arm systems on buses operated by the now-defunct Dallas County Schools. For decades, DCS transported thousands of North Texas kids to their public schools. Voters last year ended the scandal-plagued operation. DCS Superintendent Rick Sorrells has already pleaded guilty for his role in that scandal. Neely Cox said Leonard paid Sorrells more than $3 million in illicit funds, and Leonard gave Carraway more than $450,000.
Carraway and Sorrells used these illicit funds to, among other things, repay personal loans, acquire luxury clothing, fund personal trips to Las Vegas and New Orleans, and provide gambling money.
Neely Cox says that wasn't all. Some of that money went to Carraway's election campaigns. Leonard spread it around.
He also paid for security cameras for Carraway's home, for Carraway's father's home, funeral expenses for family members, a campaign bus, casino chips, and gambling funds for the horse truck.
Neely Cox said Carraway betrayed the public trust, harming the government's integrity. And she added that Leonard violated the integrity of the marketplace. Carraway submitted his resignation to City Hall. In it, he apologized, saying he must take responsibility for his actions. Carraway said it was time to remove the dark cloud his actions brought to Dallas, and he didn't want a prolonged trial. Neely Cox said after a thorough investigation, they gave Carraway the chance to cooperate and plead guilty, and he did. The FBI and IRS also joined the investigation. Special Agent Tamara Cantu investigated for the IRS.
Councilman Carraway, who accepted over $450,000 in bribes, kickbacks, and other benefits for his influence on the Dallas City Council, failed to report for income tax purposes a substantial portion of this income.
Robert Leonard pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy and faces up to 10 years in prison. Prosecutors will recommend Carraway serve up to 7 years. Sentencing is scheduled for December 14th. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
It might seem like the conversation about climate change is new, but scientists have been warning about its consequences since the 1960s. Nathaniel Rich is a writer-at-large for the New York Times Magazine. Today on Think, he told Chris Boyd, "We've been talking about climate change all wrong."
But we don't talk about it as a human problem in the same way that we talk about the other major social issues of our time. And I don't think we have a larger moral crisis than climate change. And yet it's still, the conversation still is about the politics, and not to discount any of that, that's all important. But I don't think until we really reckon with how we got here, and that goes back to essentially to the Industrial Revolution, that we've advanced as a civilization in lockstep with our use of energy. And all of that energy has come from fossil fuels. So we've been borrowing from the future, and the bill is coming. And so I think there needs to be a much more holistic, visceral understanding of the issue before the politics can work. You have to move out of a partisan framework and into a sense of shared responsibility.
This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10. The Amon Carter Museum in Fort Worth has two new shows that are flip sides of the same coin, that coin being the American West. One exhibition is about the Wild West as showbiz. The other is about how the West is lived now by Native Americans. For this week's Art and Seek Spotlight, Jerome Weeks talked with an Amon Carter curator, Maggie Adler, about connecting history to the present.
Maggie Adler, welcome to KERA.
It's a pleasure to be here.
As I understand it, the two current exhibitions were not created as a pair.
That's right.
but they were seen as complementary, as contrasts. The first is called The Theatrical Wild West. It's curated by Shirley Reese Hughes, and it's about William Cody, Buffalo Bill, and his famous Wild West show. And the exhibition argues that Buffalo Bill helped shape some of our legends about the American West. So how did this traveling carnival of sharpshooters and trick riders in the 1890s become such a part of our popular culture?
So it's this moment in which somebody could be a celebrity. Buffalo Bill has his Wild West show at the Chicago World's Fair. Millions of people are seeing that, and they're bringing home souvenirs. Part of what you're seeing on the walls of the Amon Carter are these souvenirs, the flyers, the programs, the posters, because you could collect their photographs and have them in your albums. And really, if you think of P.T. Barnum and the circus, that's the same period of time that Buffalo Bill is operating, but there's this great passion for the romance, in quotation marks, of the American West that has international appeal.
With his touring show, Buffalo Bill did encourage the Native Indian performers to set up camp and to hunt buffalo. He wanted people to see their day-to-day lives. But then he'd also have them attack stagecoaches and fight the cavalry. So it all became theater.
It's a combination of paradoxes. Buffalo Bill gets his start in show business by playing his own character on stage. And so there's just a very fuzzy line between what he actually experienced, what is educational, and what is for entertainment value. And I don't really know, but I suspect he doesn't really know the distinction.
Part of that international appeal of the West you mentioned comes from the paintings of Frederick Remington and Charles Russell. And they were both friends of Cody. So some of their paintings are inspired by his show.
Yeah.
And those paintings later influence Hollywood directors in search of the authentic West.
John Ford bases many of his Westerns on Remington imagery. What people don't really think about with Remington is that he was a New Yorker catering to Eastern audiences, catering to this illustrated press. And so it's a kind of continuous lineage of Remington experiencing the West through Buffalo Bill and some trips out West, but mostly out of his imagination, making these images that then become the version of the West that Hollywood takes up.
When we step into the next exhibition, we move from all the guns a-blazing drama of Buffalo Bill to a deeply personal collection of some 24 woodcuts. The show's called In Our Own Words, Native Impressions, and these are profiles of contemporary Native Americans created by artists Daniel Heyman and Lucy Ganje. And that step from one gallery to the next is a real shift.
Yeah. When you go to the exhibition, you'll notice it's very darkly painted and very dramatically lighted. That's intended to create a pause so that you are thinking, oh, these are individual people's stories that I'm seeing on the walls of the museum. And you get a sense of the variety of experiences of people living in North Dakota today. A lot of the common themes are the devastating effects of forced assimilation through boarding schools, the loss of language, a very great concern for the environment. So it's community issues reflected through individuals and also individual stories.
We hear from Native Indians the way we never hear from them in the Wild West show. Some stories are heartwarming, some heartrending. There's this repeated sense of isolation, but also of persistence.
In Our Own Words is not without drama. The people whose portraits are on the wall are not just up there because they are Native peoples. They have interesting stories. And that is part of what we've been trying to do at the Amon Carter over the past couple of years, is connect the historical to the present day.
Maggie Adler, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Both exhibitions at the Amon Carter Museum run through October 7th. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.